What beautiful lines to be able to sing. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. Thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Hudson.
All of you can truthfully say, it is well with my soul. Say it.
Yeah.
Now that's pretty weak. If your soul is resting upon the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know him as a reality, and that soul being purchased by that blood, then you can truthfully say, it is well with my soul. I trust that really is the language of each one here tonight, that it really is well with your soul. Should you not be able to say a glorious amen to that now? Maybe during the service you'll come to recognize your need of the Lord Jesus and own him as your very own Lord and Savior. Know the joy that it is really well with your soul. We're going to sing together. 605, just in case you've forgotten it. Now tonight we're not going to preach, we're just going to have a little heart-to-heart talk. We want you to open your Bibles at the 20th chapter of the Gospel by John. John chapter 20. Now I trust our hearts will be strangely warm tonight as again we listen to the Spirit of God through the Holy Scripture speaking to you and speaking to me. As the Lord Jesus was being hounded to his place of death, Golgotha, all that motley crowd were shouting, away with him, let him be crucified. We will not have this man to reign over us. Among that crowd were a company of godly women who found vent for their anguish in lamentation and in weeping. They were allowed to bathe his feet with their tears of love and devotion and sympathy. Among them was Mary Magdalene, out of whom had been cast 7 demons. She had been forgiven much, and she loved him much. There was Peter's mother-in-law, so Peter must have been married after all, for he had a mother-in-law. She was there. Remember, out of her had been cast that terrible fever. The Lord came into that home, they told him of her. He touched her, and the fever immediately left her, and she rose up, and she ministered unto him. The widow's Nain was there. Her son had been given back to her from the dead. Remember how the Lord Jesus met that funeral procession? He saw the weeping widow's mother. His great heart of compassion went out toward her. And he disturbed that funeral procession. He touched the bier, the cloth, to say, young man, I can be arise. He was dead, sat up, and he began to speak. And I love this with all my heart. He delivered him to his mother. He gave him back to the very soul from whence he had come. How understanding, how sympathetic, how compassionate is our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Martha and Mary were there. They had had occasional visits from the Lord Jesus. How he loved the resorts of Bethany. After the busy day, milling crowds milling all around him, there was a home where he was welcomed, a family where he was loved, and he loved them. I know how he loved to go there. They had occasional visits from the Lord Jesus. Mary, his own mother, was there. She had the great privilege of the great miracle of that conception taking place within her. The great joy of bringing forth Christ into the world. She was blessed, highly favored among women. She was there. Now let us come back for a moment. And just see how we fit into this picture. And how we tonight should draw near and in faith and in spirit. Just allow our hearts to overflow in gratitude and in love and in true thanksgiving. Out of Mary Magdalene were cast 7 demons. When I was born again as a boy, almost 14 years of age, back yonder in Scotland, I don't know how many demons was cast out of me. The family stayed the lion and the house become a lamb. Why? And a wonderful transformation took place. Because Christ came into the lion. There was a terrible fever caused by sin in your life and in my life. But we know in the healing touch of our beloved Lord that fear of sin is gone and gone forever. My sin, not in part but the whole, has been nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. O my soul. We too have been dead in trespasses and in sin. But now we've been quickened into life. And tonight we're living to praise our lovely Lord Jesus. I trust all in this very fine congregation tonight have come to that place when you've come from a conditional spiritual death into a spiritual life and you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Oh, how ought we tonight to draw near and to praise Him and adore Him and to worship Him. Mary and Martha had occasional visits from our lovely Lord. But with us, He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The same yesterday and today and forever, lo, I am with you always into the consummation of the age. Ah, beloved, I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with a cord of love, and thus he bound me to him. Round my heart so closely twined, those ties which not can sever. For I am his, and he is mine. And you know something? It's forever and forever. Earthly friends will fail and leave you. The one day sue, the next day grieve you. But this friend will never deceive you. Oh, how he loves. Oh, the constant companionship of our lovely Lord Jesus to living in the awareness that is with us every moment of every day. Do you know that joy tonight? Oh, it fills my soul with Jesus. Do I know this moment by moment, day by day, filling my soul, flooding my whole life? Listen, this connection. Mary had the great honor of bearing the Lord Jesus, bringing forth into this world that where we are concerned as believers on the Lord Jesus, Christ has been born in us. He's come into our spirit life by His Spirit. He's taken up His abode in our life. And oh, it's a great desire that He might be formed in you and formed in me. And Paul said in Galatians 4:19, that great pastoral prayer, his whole heart moving up, I travail in birth again, and will Christ be formed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, friend, have we not called tonight to draw near? And in spirit of bathe his feet without tears, and prostrate our whole being before him, and cry with all sincerity, and really mean it, O precious Lord Jesus, how lovely thou art. Come and abide in, rule in my heart. Break every fetter, thy face let me see. Then thou shalt ever be precious to me. Is Christ a reality in your life right now? With all that before you, come now to the great classic, the 20th chapter of the Gospel by John. And just notice the very first there. The Thursday of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it is yet dark, on the sepulchre, and see the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now here you think of this lone, timid woman. Sometimes the women are referred to as the weaker vessel, but I wonder very often, is that really true? Is that really true? Also when it comes to courage and bravery, we outshine we men too. And here we find a case right here. Mary has been forgiven much, And she loved him much. And 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casteth all fear. There is no fear in love. Here she's rising early in the morning, while it is yet dark, to go to the place of burial. Her love and devotion is urging her on. Love knows no fears. Love goes through all barriers. We find it right here. When she arrives, what she found? She finds the stone has been rolled away. Aren't you glad about that, eh? Doesn't that do something to you in your enlightened age? Oh, I'm sure it does. Now look at verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples. I like the way John writes about those other disciples whom Jesus loved. You could put your own name in there too, eh? He loves you, you know. Oh, he loves you. And he understands you. I'm so glad about that, aren't you? Now see this. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord, notice the expression, the Lord, out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciples and came to the sepulchre, so they ran both together. And the other disciples did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. John the younger man outrun Peter, see the old boar laboring coming along, the old fisherman. The young John runs along there, gets first to the sepulchre. And he's sitting down and looking in, just a casual look. Saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, just as impetuous as ever. Peter's are impetuous, we know that, we got one. And went into the sepulchre, and see the linen clothes lie, and a napkin was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, wrapped together in a place by itself. Even death he must have the preeminence. Here we find now the linen bandages lying as if the body is still lying there. But now we find the napkin, not a bone, lying by itself, a place by itself. Mr. Bill McCartney, whom we called in to see on our way down, he has written a tract on this. While the napkin, a place by itself, and he brings it out as the woman's covering. The bandage was there, never to be removed again. But the Lord, in his own glorious way, and the one preeminent in own death, he takes time to fold that napkin and place it by itself. And we're going to be used again. When the women cover their heads when they come in church capacity. The wonder of it all. Now isn't that just precious? The angel saw and looked down. There's the whole thing right there. Isn't that just precious? Doesn't it do something to your heart with my heart? I know what this is. The Lord in all things must have the preeminence. Or he'll never use those bandages again. And Christ in preeminent in life, Christ preeminent in death. I love that with all my heart. But John takes time to record that. The others didn't even mention it, but John noticed it. And with great interest he noticed, and he records it. Is there a message for your heart and my heart here tonight? I'm sure there really is. Look, Father, shall we? Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet he knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home, but Mary, who? I want to underline these three words. Encircle the little but. But Mary, who? The disciples went away to their own home, as if unconcerned. But not Mary. Mary loved them much. Her whole being's moving up toward the Lord. She's come to meet the Lord, and she's not going to go away without meeting her Lord. Good heaven, we find here wholehearted allegiance, complete devotion. Our whole being's moving out toward him. And while the apostles left her cold and unmoved, and they turned to earth home, for the reward Mary got. But Mary too. She shows here her wholehearted allegiance, her complete devotion, her heart warm love for the Lord Jesus. But Mary too. Don't we remember an Old Testament character in Ruth? He went all the way with the Umai. The third to be her deliverer offered those back to more. The land of her nativity, back to God, back to her own people. But Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. For the wonderful baptismal text, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And she goes all the way with the Umai, who appears to be her deliverer. What do we find? She has introduced a man whose name is Boaz. Boaz seems a strong man. He's also a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man of wealth. And because of young Ruth's utter devotion and love and affection for the Umai, she's gloriously rewarded. She comes in contact with Boaz. She comes in all of impotence and powerlessness. She finds in Boaz her abundance of strength. She comes in all of penury and poverty. She finds in Boaz her abundance of wealth. And Mary Magdalene too. And because of her allegiance, she too has a wonderful reward. What happens here? But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, and your heart shouts, what? Hallelujah! The body had lain. Thank God the body's no longer there. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Aren't you glad the cross is empty and the tomb is vacated and the crown is filled? I never forget standing in this grave. I can't sing. You can make a noise, but I certainly can't sing. A.P. gives you to say there's plenty of volume, but very little melody. So there's the whole thing. I want to get, but standing in that grave, I'll never know, never forget this in all my life. We sung. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. As we came out from the tomb, it was pouring with rain. People standing outside wanted to get in. I couldn't contain myself again. We started. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, awaiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. And up from the grave he arose, with a mighty cry of all his heard. And just that psychological moment, up in Golgotha, another great crowd of people stood there, and the joined right in the cried, Hallelujah! Christ arose! And all through the valley, I was showing my pictures on this in Brisbane in Australia a few months ago. Man from the congregation said, Jim, I remember that well, but I didn't realize it was you who started it. We all joined in that very day. Hallelujah! Christ arose! Did your heart say amen to that, eh? Ah, we don't present a creed, nor a code, nor a catechism, nor a church membership. We're not answering to John anything. We're answering to see a living Lord. And He by His word comes into your life. He'll transform your life. You'll become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you're saying He lives. You know He lives. He lives within my heart. Your heart too? Amen? Amen. Right on. With the body had lived. I like that. Oh, I really do. Little Paul, shall we? Verse 13. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She says unto them, Because of taking away another change here, my Lord. Verse 2, it's the Lord. Verse number 13, it's my Lord. I know not where they laid him. By the way, there were two in that sepulchre. One at the bottom, one at the head. I wonder who they could be. Who were they? Do you remember the two appear with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration? One with Moses and the other Elijah? Could this not be? Could these not be the same two? Moses and Elijah? Do you remember the two on Acts chapter 1 verse 11? who came back saying, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you to heaven shall so come in like manner." And go, who are they? Could they not be Moses and Elijah? Who are going to be the two witnesses in the coming day? Are they not Moses and Elijah? If you're not quite sure, may I suggest you read a little Baxter to Awake My Heart? If you haven't got that book, do get it. You can tell me where to get it, I'll get it too. I don't know, it's causing, I've never targeted away that book from the best devotion you can ever get. Get 500 choice words each morning. Not some fragmented old thing, but 500 words of choice Bible teaching. Now, he agrees with me. Moses and Elijah. I will not be like the chaotic preacher who says, I will not be dogmatic, but I'm absolutely certain. That will you forget about that and think about it later now? Come back with me to my study, will you? And just as it says here, and when you turn the cell back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now don't blame Mary. Even the disciples in chapter 21 didn't know it was Christ standing on the seashore. They didn't know. But love recognizes them, you know. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And he adds something. "Whom seekest thou?" The two, remember, earlier said, "Woman, why weepest thou? Unless there." But now the Lord said, "Whom seekest thou?" And all the time he knew she was seeking him. Oh, his whole heart moving up toward him. Oh, the joy and the encouragement that must have been brought to the heart of a lovely Lord that day. Where are the apostles? Where are they? This lone woman, there she is. Ah, what a reward she gets. First to hear his voice on resurrection ground. First to see him on resurrection ground. And something more. Just think what happens here. She supposed him to be in the garden and said unto him, "Sir, ain't thou gone and hence tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Whatever she's going to do with a dead Christ, I simply don't know. But dead or alive, she wanted Christ. Now let me ask you lovingly, is this your heart's devotion? Do you love him like this? Do you know him like this? Is your whole being moving up toward him in wholehearted, complete, surrendered devotion to him? Can you look up tonight and say, "I've no one in heaven but thee, there's no one on earth I desire beside thee. Lord, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. Fix my eyes so wholly, Lord, on thee, that with thy beauty occupied, I elsewhere none may see." And all the glorious reward here. Jesus says unto her, "Mary." And you've got a way of saying that, you know. Oh, he alone could say. And as he said it, her whole being got thrilled within her. "Mary!" She turned herself and said, "Rabboni, my own dear master." And she got about to clasp him, the Lord said, "Touch me not. I am not the descendant of my father. But go to my brethren." She is the first person commissioned by the Lord. And he commissioned her. "Go and tell my brethren." Oh, I know some people tell me Mary Magdalene was not very intelligent. Had been more intelligent, she wouldn't have been there. I would rather have some person who's got a cool head and a warm heart and a cold heart and a warm head, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Would you rather have someone who is in heart love with the Lord Jesus, their heart white hot in love and devotion and surrender, in selfless sacrificial service in his name, and someone to be so correct in orthodox things, correct regarding church truth, regarding church principles, regarding doctrine, and be as cold as ice? Friend, the greatest revival needed today is not more ministry, is not more manpower, not more money, not more new message, not more modern music, not more modern versions, but for the individual believer to fall in love afresh with Jesus Christ. And friend, if that happens here during these days, our coming together is going to be really worthwhile. You're my friend, you hear such a lot of Bible teaching, beautiful expositions of God's Word. My humble desire and prayer long before coming here, that each of us is going to have a fresh vision of Jesus Christ and fall in love afresh with Him. The impact is going to have such a terrific impact, it shall be felt to the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Does He mean everything to you? Go and tell my brethren, Lord heaven, and say unto them, I say unto them, my Father, and you, the first time you ever come across this expression, knowing now in resurrection power is my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Young Ruth said, thy people shall be my people, thy God shall be my God. And she goes to tell the disciples, she has seen the Lord, and has told her all these things. And there was such a transformation in Mary's life, they couldn't deny it. Friend, you can't come in contact with Jesus Christ in the same man or woman, boy or girl again. You just cannot. Our life is transformed by the risen Christ. I want to take the name Mary. The capital M-A-R-Y still spells Mary, doesn't it? Right over, her Mary, her name was marred. Her life was marred because of sin. Her life was marred because of sin. A, her life was altered because of her contact with Jesus Christ. First, we're going to teach them all tonight, goes something like this. I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry. It's a new life, oh how He changed me. It's a new life, He rearranged me. It's a new life, richer and fuller. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. And it goes on from there. And when Christ comes to life, He really changes you. He completely transforms you. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your life is altered. Then our life is remade. Or if you like, regenerated. Remade or a new creation altogether. And lastly, her life is yielded. Her life is yielded. Mary, her life is marred. Her life is altered. Her life is remade. Her life is yielded. Maybe perchance not the some life here, just like that. Your life been marred because of sin. But Christ is here tonight. Nearer to you than your neighbor. Looking right down deep into your heart right now. Put up the empty hand of faith and just touch Him, will you? Lord, I do believe You died for me. I believe You shed Your precious blood for me. And Lord, I own You as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And your life will be remade. You become a new creation, Christ Jesus. All things will be passed away. You become a new creature altogether. And your life will be yielded. You can't hold back. Oh no. You recognize His Lord. You belong to Him. And from your very heart, you'll look up and say with all sincerity, reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to Thee. In everything, all it may be. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement dost give Thyself to me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give. Henceforth live. O Christ. Oh, man. Will you tonight? Will you tonight? Right now? You sit there. The Lord is here. The one who became dead. Who's alive forevermore. Neither to you nor your neighbor. Just wants to say, Lord, I believe. And I receive Thee. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Will you? And those of us who do profess His name, may I ask you lovingly,
Have you seen the Lord? Does he mean everything to you right now? If not, he's saying to you now, lovest thou me more than? Lovest thou me more than? And will you turn away from your heart with all your heart and say, and really mean it?
Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my heart, my life, my all. Your life, once marred by sin, will be altered by your contact with Jesus Christ. Your life will be remade, regenerated, and the life will be healed. Lord, I yield myself to thee. I've heard thy call, come give me thy all. Lord, I gladly yield to thee. That's only part of my measure. I intend to finish in the chapter tonight, but we must close right there. I see my time almost gone. 350. There's no button holding nor undue pressing. You're not asked to stand up or to raise your hand or come to the front, but if you're concerned about spiritual matters, then please don't go away. We're here to help you if we possibly can. Maybe your friend will help you and help you come and talk to us. If you tonight are a professing Christian and you're living a defeated life, now that is a contradiction in terms. There's no need for any Christian to live a defeated life. There's complete victory for you tonight in Christ Jesus, our wonderful Lord. Many here can testify to that, as I've entered in by simple faith, the teaching of Romans 6. This can be your joy. We're here to help you. 315, I've seen the face of Jesus. Buckling prayerfully.
I've seen the face of Jesus. He smiled in love on me. He filled my heart with rapture, my soul with exulting. The scars of deepest anguish were lost in glory bright. I see the face of Jesus. It was a wondrous sight. The glorious face of beauty, the gentle touch of care. If he resists the blessed, what will
and since I've seen his beauty, all else I count but loss. The world, its fame and pleasure, is now to me but dross. His light dispelled my darkness, his smile was all too sweet. I've seen the face of Jesus, I have but kisses feet. Do you know him like this? The third verse from our heart.
I hear the voice of Jesus. He told me of his love and called me his own treasure. His undefiled, his love. It came like softest music across an ocean path. The glorious face of beauty, a gentle touch of care. It is so blessed,
I know he's coming shortly to tell us all about. So sing redemption story, the story of his life. Are you going with us? Should the Lord burst the clouds tonight and descend there, and he may. Are you going with us? Oh, please make sure of it before you leave tonight. And sing with all your heart, it is well with my soul. The last verse, softly, perfectly. Thank you. I know it's coming shortly to take us all. We'll sing redemption during the glory of his love. I'll hear his voice of music. We'll feel his hand. He'll never rest in faithful until he has us there. The glorious faith of duty, of gentle touch of care, if he redeems the blessing, will it be we thank thee for the wonderful provision thou hast made for all mankind, blessed God, in the person and work of our lovely Lord Jesus. Now by the divine operation of the Holy Spirit in this immediate congregation, through thy holy word, pray thy word tonight may become alive as many believe thy word, receive thy word by simple faith, that in the Lord Jesus, the very own Lord and Savior, they shall know the joy. They're alive to praise him. Blessed God, this assembled company, from the youngest to the eldest, where not one may leave tonight without having seen our lovely Lord, having heard his voice, and felt his glorious touch, and responded with a glad assurance, Lord Jesus, thou art mine, and I am thine forever. And forever. True Christ, a wonderful